Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're finding ourselves this morning, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And as we do that, I'd like to begin opening up our time in God's Word by talking about the many reasons people look for a church. There are people all around this Sunday looking for a church. They're shopping for church. That's why I found this sort of comical picture, church shopping. The things that people are looking for in a church, some of them are rather superficial. Whether the curtains are the color you want, or the cross is in the right place, or the church I attended through all my high school years that my dad pastored in Indiana had bright hunter orange carpet and hunter orange pews. And people would come visit the church, and then after one Sunday they would say, I just can't come back. It's too bright. Right? I heard of a family who attended the church for some time and then left the church simply because the toilet was in the wrong corner of the bathroom. I kid you not. There are pretty superficial reasons why some people come and look for a church. Other people look for a church for good reasons. Some look for a church with an awesome kids ministry. They want the church that has that excited group of volunteers, that open space, an open area for games and activities to take place. They look for a church that as soon as they walk into, they hear the sound of children's laughter bouncing off the walls. Right? They look for a church with a good children's ministry. Other people are shopping for a church, and they're looking for that church with the best worship experience. And when I use that word worship, I'm mainly speaking about, in this context, music. Right? That worship pastor comes up and he says, before we lead you in this closing song, I just want you to know that a CD is in the back with all of our music that you can purchase for a church deal of $10.99. And then while he starts to grab his guitar and strum, the fog rises and the mood lights dim a little bit. And then they pulsate with the beat of the song, and you say, man, I just feel so connected to what's going on here. Some people look for a church with that worship experience. Other people are looking for the church that has the coolest pastor. You know who I'm talking about. Not me. But that pastor who's got that perfect hair, right? And you're just wondering throughout the entire sermon that as animated as he is, how his hair isn't just all over the place. And then you realize that the product he puts in his hair keeps it real stiff. Right? And you say, man, that's what a Christian looks like. Right? And he's got that smile that just makes you feel like you're his best friend immediately. He has that wonderful, perfect pastor's wife who simply walked out of heaven, stepped on some clouds, entered into our presence. Some people are looking for that perfect pastor and that perfect pastor's wife. Now, our church offers all of those things. But what I'm getting at is if you are looking for a church, the number one thing that you should be looking for is not a cool pastor or even a great children's ministry or a fog-induced worship experience. What you should be looking for in a church is a church that teaches the authentic Word of God. That sound doctrine gets taught from Sunday school classrooms and children's church ministries all the way to the pulpit. That's what you should be looking for in a church. A place where you can stand firmly on the Word of God, study it, and leave that Sunday encouraged by it. That's what you should be looking for in a church. And that's what Peter's talking about here when he addresses teachers. He addresses his desire to leave behind him a godly heritage founded in sound doctrine, in the truth of God's word. Now, the apostles, in complete a group of apostles, were very concerned that churches that they wrote to and ministered to were founded and established in the truth of God's word and sound doctrine. Paul reminded Timothy and Titus multiple times to teach and preach the truth. He reminded the church in Philippi to hold forth the word of life. John, the apostle of love, emphasized to the church that he wrote to in his three epistles a sound doctrine. For through teaching and application of the word of God can you become that loving individual that God has called us to be. Jude appeals to his readers to contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down from the saints. And Peter as well here. He will extend, as we will see in these few verses, much energy revealing to us the truth of God's word and the importance of remembering it and allowing it to be that foundation to our lives. And then in chapters 2 and 3 of 2 Peter, which we won't get into today, he will talk about the false teachers. You see, Peter is writing to a church who are scattered. A church who perhaps at one point were a part of his congregation in Jerusalem, but because of persecution, because they were living in the day and age of Emperor Nero, who perhaps was the greatest persecutor of Christians in all of history, they were scattered. They left. They had to leave. And so Peter is writing to them, this scattered group of believers. I believe the same group he wrote to in 1 Peter. And he's telling them to stand firmly on that which he has taught them, that word of God, that truth that he has for them. Stand firm in it, because there are false teachers. There will continue to be false doctrines that will seep into the church. And let me tell you, the only way that can happen, the only way that someone can come behind a pulpit and start telling you lies about God, is if the church is not taught the truth. That's the only way that false teaching can seep under the door of a church, is if a church isn't founded and established in sound doctrine. If a church is, they will recognize that, and they will push that out. So Peter understands that, and he's writing to his beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, and he's pleading with them to remember the truth that he is to help them, because false teachers have gotten into the church. And we'll see that even more in chapters 2 and 3. But today, what we're looking at in verses 12 through 15, that we'll read just a minute, talk about that which we are to be teaching as believers. So, enough of me talking. How about we open up the Word of God and let's hear God speak through His Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 reads, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." Would you pray with me? Father, again this week as we open up your word and read it, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in truth. That we would not only read your word, hear your word, but that we would understand it and apply it to our lives. Father, we thank you that your word is truth, and that it gives us everything we need to know in this world. So, Father, we thank you for your provision of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, perhaps not every one of us are preachers behind a pulpit. But I do believe that each and every one of us as followers of Christ have opportunities to share the truths of God's word with others, to teach them God's word. In that sense, we are all teachers of God's word, for he has placed all sorts of people in our path to share that hope and that peace and that love and the gospel message with others. He's placed people in our path to be that teacher, to help others know the truth and walk in it. And that's what Peter's reminding us of here, I believe. So what we see in verses 12 through 15 are simple observations about what Peter thinks we should be teaching. The truth of what he has taught should impact what we then teach and how we should teach. And the first thing he says, I believe, is that we are to remind each other of the truths of God's word. The first half of that first point is to remind each other. Verses 12, Peter says, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. Verse 13, he says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Verse 15, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind, or remember these things. Three separate times, Peter says that his desire is to remind us of the truth in God's word. So what truths are those? Well, if we were to read all of verse 1 leading up to this point, we'd see that it's the truth of salvation found in Christ alone. You know, we just shared about a young woman who is caught up in addiction. That's an individual looking for something in life and cannot find it in terms towards drugs. We hear stories of people seeking God in their lives and they don't even realize it. They seek to fulfill it with relationships, and so they bounce from one individual to another, to another, to another, to another, and each relationship is just toxic. We see people who are searching for the Savior, and they don't know they're looking for Him, so they get behind a politician, right? And they follow him and or her, and they get behind them, and that becomes their Savior. And I'll tell you what, those politicians will only let you down if you're looking for them to be your Savior. What Peter reminds us of in the early portion of chapter 1 is that God sent a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. That no drug can fill, no relationship with another person can fill, and no politician can fill that void. Only a Savior. And it's an amazing thing, because all we have to do, Scripture tells us, is admit that we are a sinner. That's easy enough for a 5-year-old to do. Admit that we are a sinner. To realize God's gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. To believe in Him, and we will be saved. That's what Scripture tells us, and that's some of the truth that Peter's trying to remind these individuals of. This is a truth that many of them already knew. And he said, I just want to remind you of salvation. I want to remind you of the character of God. I want to remind you of the love of Christ. I want to remind you of these things. Also, if we look through chapter 1, early in the verses, we see that he also wants to remind us of the magnificent promises that God gives those who believe in him. That we can become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. And then he also wants to remind us of how to walk as a believer. How to grow in our faith. How to grow in godliness. And those are the things that he is referencing when he says, I will also be diligent that any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. And so it is important for us to remind each other of these truths, even if it's repetitive, even if you're being reminded of it every morning you wake up. We need to remember these things and be reminded of these things. In fact, have you ever noticed how the Bible repeats truth time and time again? If you were to open up in the book of Genesis and read all the way through to Revelation, you would notice that there are certain themes and stories in Scripture that get told multiple times in different books of the Bible. Exodus 20, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5 tells you all about that. It repeats the story. 1 and 2 Chronicles go over much of the same history of Israel that you find in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. There are four Gospels to tell you about the life of Christ, and they repeat often the teachings of Christ and the miracles of Christ, perhaps from a different perspective, but at the same time, it's four different books talking about the same individual. If you read through the Psalms and say, I'm going to do a study on God's loving kindness being everlasting, being eternal, you will find that phrase over and over and over again through the poetry and the Psalms in the book of Psalms. Romans and Galatians deal with similar themes, as do Ephesians and Colossians. Jude and 2 Peter have overlapping messages. We see the themes of humanity's depravity. We see the themes of God's love. We see the themes of faithfulness and forgiveness seen in our redemption in nearly every book of the Bible. For some reason, God thinks we need to hear these truths a lot, to be reminded of them a lot. Now, if you're a parent, or if you're a teacher, or if you've ever taught anyone anything, whether it's a dog, house training, whatever it is, right? You realize that truth is often not understood at one mention of it, right? If I'm trying to teach my kids how to read, you have to go over the same steps over and over again. They have to be embedded in their memory. They have to become second nature, right? If you're going to teach your kid mathematics, you have to do that. If you're going to teach your dog to go to the bathroom outside, you have to say, potty outside, like 50,000 times. And maybe after 50,000 times, they might understand. But then again, if it's raining, all bets are off. If you're a parent, you find yourself saying, how many times do I need to tell you this? The answer? As many times as it takes to learn it. I am so grateful that our Father in heaven is much more, infinitely more patient than I am with my children, with my dog, with my students. I'm so grateful that He, in His infinite knowledge, knows that we need to hear things often before we understand them and apply them. I wish it weren't that case. I wish I could hear something from the Lord and immediately learn from it, never do it again. But oftentimes, like a child, I have to hear it a lot. And God is gracious enough to tell it to us a lot. And so, learning from that, Peter saying, I'm reminding you, I'm stirring up as way of remembrance. I want you to be able to call these things to mind after I've gone. Remember these things. It's important for us to constantly remind each other of the truths of God's Word. The second part of that phrase has to do with truth and God's Word. And I want to say right now, for a few moments, talk about the fact that God's Word is truth. All right? We live in a strange time, and I'm sure every single person who's ever been alive said that. But we live in a strange time. A time where truth seems to be fickle. A time where truth seems to just go, flow along the different breezes of society. Right? What's true to me may not be true to you. What's true to you may not be true to somebody else. And it's this thing called subjective truth. We live in a day and age where there's this subjective truth based upon the subject. What I believe is true is what I believe is true. And what you believe is true is what you believe is true. Yet the Word of God says that's not real. Right? There is objective truth. There is authority. Truth that we can come back to that never changes, and it's found in God's Word, because God never changes. God wrote the book on truth. So God's Word is truth. Verse 12, he says, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth. Have been established in the truth. This word established in the Greek means to stand upon, to firmly fix yourself on the truth of God's Word. Imagine if you did that in your life. How you would view things differently. Peter's saying, establish yourself in the truth of God's word. Firmly fix yourself in God's word. Have God's word be that foundation of truth. Look through the binoculars of God's word at the world around you. We call that a biblical worldview, right? A Christian worldview, right? Look through God's binoculars as you view the world around you. And that will help you know what truth is. And when someone comes up and says something that's not true, you say, I know the truth. The truth set me free. I know the truth. God's word is true. Therefore, I want to encourage us to set our lives upon it. That means we should be spending time in it. Read it. Know it. Remind each other of it. Listen to it when it's taught. Retell it. Teach it over and over and over and over again. Allowing the rest of your lives to settle upon God's word. And if you haven't done that yet, start today. Start today. Because this is where our strength comes from. This is where our peace that passes understanding comes from. This is where hope comes from. This is where we get the understanding of what love is. This is where we find the truth of salvation. This is our number one defense against false teachers and slippery doctrine. We need to remind each other of the truth of God's word over and over and over again. And Peter says, that's his goal. To remind them, to stir them up in way of remembrance, to be diligent that after he departs from this world, they'll be able to call these things to mind. And we can take that and we can apply that into our own lives and say, okay, Peter, you've showed us what's important. You've showed us where we should be putting our time and energy. Let's do that too. Second observation here is that we are to use our short time on this earth to serve the Lord. He says, verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. Peter knows and understands that his time on this earth is drawing to an end. His death is near. I'm sure Peter remembers the words of Christ when he told him, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now Jesus said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God with. John chapter 21, verse 18. I'm sure Peter was reminded of those words, and he's looking around the circumstances, and he's saying, I'm older. I've been taken where I did not want to go. He's writing from prison in Rome. And Nero is beginning his first wave of persecution on the known church at that time. Peter knew his time was drawing near. And therefore, he talked with a sense of urgency. Now, when it comes to our lives, we never know when the end will come. James tells us that we don't know what will happen tomorrow. He goes on to tell us that our lives are but a mist or a vapor that appear for a little while and vanishes. What he's saying is that we are to live each moment of each day as if it were our last. For our time on this earth is very short in light of eternity. So what do we spend our days talking about? Let's evaluate our conversations we have day to day. Are they on things that last? Peter is telling us that he's seeking to take full advantage of those moments that God gave him with those he placed in his path to share the truths of God's word, to remind them of it. As parents, we need to do that with our children. We need to do that with our coworkers. We need to do that with our students. We need to do that with our siblings, our parents, our neighbors, We need to take full advantage of those conversations, those moments we have with people that God has placed into our life for a short time, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. And Peter is living with that sense of urgency. And so he's reminding those he's listening to that he knows his time is drawing to an end. And he wants to take full advantage. All I could think of was advance. Full advantage of those moments that he had. And so he grabbed pen and paper, and under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these words to the church. Verse 15, he says, "I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." There that word is again. Diligent. Three times in 15 verses, Peter has used this word that means to make every effort. He says in verse 5 that you are to make every effort to grow in godliness. Verse 10, he says that you are to make every effort to make certain of Christ's calling and choosing you, certain of your salvation. And then he says, "And I will make every effort to remind you of these truths of God's word." So what we learn from Peter is that we are to be intentional in teaching God's word to those around us. We need to make every effort. We need to be diligent as well. And his prayer is that due to his intentional teaching of the truths of God's word, particularly the truth of salvation in Christ, the promises of God, the steps to grow in godliness, his prayer is that due to that intentional teaching, that those who he leaves behind will remember what he taught. Imagine if we lived that way. If we thought every conversation with this individual could be my last. And so I want to say something that will point them to Christ. I want to say something that has eternal value. I want to take full advantage of my conversations I have with them. I know I've been placed here for just a short period of time in light of eternity. And I want to be intentional in my conversations. Imagine what difference it would make if you called up your child today and you said, "Hey, how are you doing? I just called to tell you and remind you that God loves you." So do we. That's all. Have a great day. What if you sent that text message to a student or a sibling or a neighbor? You were just happened to be passing by the road and you say, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you that God loves you." What if we were intentional with our conversations in such a way that we pointed people to the Savior? Those little comments, I believe, can turn into greater, deeper conversations about salvation and things that have an eternal impact. You see, I think every single one of us has that same prayer of Peter's, that when we go, that when we pass, that people in this earth will remember the good things that we taught. And as believers, the things that last for all eternity. I heard a professor of mine at Word of Life Bible Institute. He said, the only two things that last are the souls of man and the Word of God. Let's be intentional in studying the Word of God and sharing and proclaiming the Word of God so that we can impact the souls of man, because those are the only two things that are eternal. Everything else we leave behind us, those two things are eternal. And when I think of Peter's words, I can't help but hear Paul's words in 2 Timothy 4:7. Some of you know these words by heart. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race of the course. I have kept the faith." How great would it be that as we end our time on this earth, we can say those words? So how do we get to that point? Well, we live each day with a sense of urgency. We spend time in the Word of God, so much so that we know it. We allow it to change our lives. And then we live it out in front of people, and we talk about it as much as we can. We are intentional in our living, seizing every moment of every day to the glory of God. For the only things that last forever are the souls of men and the word of God. Therefore, this is where we are to invest our time. Well, in conclusion, I'd like to ask a few questions, because the word of God oftentimes serves as a mirror, does it not? You read it, the Holy Spirit brings something to light, and you say, man, I need to do better. So are you investing in the things that are eternal? What will be said of you after you've gone? These are things Peter's thinking about. These are things we need to think about. May we be found faithful by investing in the lives of others through studying the Word of God and then sharing His truths. Would you pray with me? Father, we need help with this. Father, so many times we invest in the wrong things in life. We chase and pursue selfish things. We say hurtful things. Father, we don't use our words to your glory, to invest in the souls of mankind. Father, we don't spend our time investing in the truths of your word. So Father, help us. Help us take that first step today to do just that. To become more intentional with our conversations with our children. To be more intentional with our conversations with our co-workers, our students, our friends, our family members, our neighbors. And Father, in being intentional, may we share with them the truths of your word. There are so many people, even more so it seems as we move closer to this election, that need a Savior and that are looking to the wrong people for salvation. May we be that light of hope. May we bring that message of salvation to those individuals. In Jesus' name.